There's just a few announcements to make before we read. Thank you all very much for coming again. We do value you coming, and today we pray that you'll be blessed for being here. I hope to tell my testimony and my conversion story, how God saved me, and we pray that it'll be a blessing to all here this afternoon. So next Lord's Day, the gospel meeting will be at 4:30, preceded by a prayer meeting at 4 o'clock. And the speaker expected then is Mr. John Parkinson from this assembly. And then just another announcement as well. You may have all seen an invitation like this. If you haven't, you want to give some out, there's some on the desk just out in the foyer. Gospel meetings at the Quarry Town Road, Sunday nights at 7 p.m. and Monday to Friday at 8 p.m. And you will be all made very warmly welcome to those meetings, and the speakers there are Andrew Steele and David Strachan. So we'll now open the Word of God, please. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14. Just two readings tonight. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus is here performing a miracle. He has walked on water. And in verse 28, we'll break in. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." The Lord Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And then Acts, please. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, and just a verse here, verse 25. Acts 24 and verse 25. "And as he reasoned," this is Paul the apostle speaking to a man called Felix and his wife, "and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" And God will bless the public reading of his word. So as I say, I just want to briefly tell you how God saved me. I had an unspeakable privilege, though I didn't appreciate it as a privilege in my years growing up, of being brought up by a godly mother and father who prayed for me and were saved at the age of 20. They both... salvation is a personal thing, but when God saved them, it happened that they were both 20 years old, and a few years later they met each other and were married. But I came along in the year 2000, the 21st of October 2000, and was their firstborn son, one of four children, and I was brought up and had an immensely privileged upbringing, and had the privilege of a mother and a father that prayed for me and longed that I would be saved early on in life. And little did I appreciate that, if anything at all, when I was growing up, that I had a mum and a dad and many family members and friends of theirs that were praying that I would be saved. And dear friends, I just want you to know this, that there are those that have been gathered in the little room across the way, and they've been praying for you tonight, praying that you'll be saved. Some of you mentioned by name. And we long that tonight would be the night you'd go in for God's salvation. And so, though I had all that privilege, and it bore great responsibility, and those of you who have that same experience today, being brought up under the prayers and being shadowed and covered over by the prayers of many of the Lord's people, you still have a responsibility, and a greater responsibility, could we say, than those outside who have been have had no one to guide them up through their childhood. And so, boys and girls in the meeting this evening, may you think seriously about your soul, for privilege does not mean that you'll be saved. There's a passage in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to a people. He's speaking to about Capernaum, and he spent so much time there in Capernaum, and the people were gathered around him many a time, and they had the privilege of hearing the gospel preached and spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he said, "But thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell." And they were those who did not receive Christ. And so, my dear friend, just be careful with that privilege. May you act upon it, and may you be saved even tonight. And so I went on. I was brought up there. I was born on the 21st of the 10th, 2000, and that's when I received physical life in the St. Michael's Hospital in Bristol City Centre. I received life for time, and for this life, this short life that God has given me and given you. You all have life, thank God, in this meeting this afternoon. But on the 16th of August 2017 is when I began for heaven, and God saved me by his grace, and I received new life. I was born again, not of myself, but God saved me, and I was fitted for heaven and for whom? For all eternity. And so I know with peace in my soul tonight, and with joy, that if I pass from death, if I die tonight, I am on my way to heaven, and I will be brought, taken safely home. Do you have that hope tonight, friend, in the meeting this evening? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven at the end of life? For it brings such peace. There was many a night that I tossed and turned in bed, knowing that if the Lord came tonight, I'd be left behind. Mum and Dad would be gone. There was occasions that I remember creeping out of my bed at night and going round to the bedroom door of Mum and Dad, putting my ear to the door just to wait for a breath, just to hear a snore or any noise come from them. I was just feared stiff of being left behind. And dear friend, could I just remind you that it is a reality that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It'll not be long. It could be tonight. It could be before the 5 o'clock, before the meeting's over. Are you ready? Are you ready to pass from this world? And are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the air and call those who are saved safe to himself? I would urge you tonight, make sure you're ready. Be ready for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is coming again. And so had that upbringing, and yet the upbringing, friends, this is where the message of the gospel is to the whosoever. This is where the gospel comes forth. It is for everyone. It is not just merely to those who have the tremendous privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, and with the love and the care and the longing in the hearts of parents for their children to be saved. The gospel is for the whosoever. It is for everyone in the world, no matter your upbringing, no matter your background. God has sent his son to be the savior of the world, and it is God's will tonight that you would be saved from your sins and made fit for heaven even this night. And so this message is not exclusively to those who have the privilege of being brought up by Christian parents. And yet I was careless, and I didn't count that a privilege until I was saved. And I still would say that I little appreciate what a privilege it was. And so tonight I went on in my sin and was growing up there with my four siblings, my three siblings, Mum and Dad. We often would be brought to a place like this every Sunday and through the week, and to gospel meetings and Sunday school and different gatherings like similar to this, and I just went along. It was just something we did. We were just brought up doing it, and I didn't give too much thought to it. And yet there were times, as I've said, when I was afraid to die, and I was afraid that the Lord would come, and mum and dad and a lot of my family would be taken to heaven, I'd be left behind. That was God speaking to me. That was God speaking to me, and yet I put it off. And I said, no, I want my sin. And I went on just seeking to please myself and live for myself and live for this world. And so I say this just because there was a time where I can really clearly remember knowing that I had sinned in life. And mum and dad had a little drawer in the house, and there was things, his wallet was kept in it, and there was bits of there was packets of chewing gum and stuff like that. And one day, I wanted a bit of the chewing gum, and I didn't want to ask mum or dad for it, but I just went ahead and I took it, and I went out into the garden, and I hid. I hid myself whilst I chewed away there. And that seems, there's a few smiles on people's faces here tonight, but I knew that I should have asked for that. I knew that that was wrong, and my conscience was pricking me, and that is why I hid myself from the sight of anyone. And yet God saw me, and God saw that sin that I committed. And that is just a sin that I remember committing, and I committed many more. But my dear friend, we sin in our thoughts. We sin without even knowing. Sin is in our very nature, and we all have sin in us from the day we're born. We are born in sin. We are, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, the psalmist could say, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so this was a problem that I had, and that you have tonight. Make it personal tonight. Remember that you personally have sinned against the holy God of heaven, and you are not ready to die, or you're not ready. If the Lord come tonight, you're not ready. If you've never had that moment in life's experience when you were saved by the grace of God. And so I knew that that was wrong. And I say to the children tonight, guard your consciences, for Satan will seek to sear your conscience, to burn it and to make it numb, and to just rid yourself of any concern, and to not know what is right and what is wrong. We're living in a world where the consciences of men and women, boys and girls, are seared with a hot iron, the Bible tells us. And men hardly know what's right and know what's wrong today. And so, boys and girls especially, just guard your conscience and remember this, and be aware of what is right and what is wrong. And no doubt there's many here today, and you are being taught that at home. What is right and what is wrong? Your mum and dad, they open the book, they open the scriptures, and they teach you from the word of God. May God preserve you, for it doesn't take long before you become just a little bit numb, and then it spirals until habits become... things that you enjoy, they become habits, and then they become addictions, and they become something that spirals out of control. And in a very short space of time, people completely forget and don't realize. They have no awareness that the position they are in and what they are doing is sin before God. And so just guard your conscience. The Bible speaks about a seared conscience. And so I went on, and at the age of about 12 years old, I took up mountain biking, and this was a great hobby to me. For a very short space of time, it was a hobby, because it very, very quickly overtook my life, and it became everything to me. I woke up in the morning to go and ride my bike in the evening. And I lived and breathed bikes, and idolized professional mountain bikers, and just lived, my mind was full just of bikes. I could think of nothing else. Bikes and music became a big thing to me as well. And so that's how, from the age of 12 to 16, I just had this big goal in my mind that I was going to become a professional mountain biker and become a sports a man that just lived to ride bikes and make it a job and make it a career out of it. And so that filled my mind, and I spent, I would say in 2015 and 2016, I would have spent pretty much every evening of the summer from about 4 o'clock to 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I would be out the whole week, every night, minus Sunday night. I would be out riding my mountain bike. And little did I know, and little did I care, to my shame at the time, but back at home there was a mother and father praying for me that I would be preserved. They knew Dad had been with me when I first started riding. He came with me to the local mountain bike spot where I rode, and he saw the men that I spent time with. He saw that they took drugs, and he saw that they took drink. And yet, I didn't start riding there. I was elsewhere riding, and then I progressed, and then eventually I was able to go to this place. And Dad and Mum, they just had to let me go, and they just committed me to God, and they prayed for my soul whilst they let me just go and enjoy the riding and enjoy the company. And I thank God tonight, again, going back to conscience, I thank God tonight that I was preserved from ever going down the route of drink and drugs, because I was exposed to it very, very clearly and very openly. And it was something that I could have very easily gotten into. And I'll be honest, it was something I wanted. When I was about 10 or 11, I once said to someone, a dear Christian lady that used to take care of us a lot, and I once said to her that I wanted to live a life like my dad and my uncles had lived. They had lived lives of sin, lived for parties, lived for drugs and drink. And I wanted to live that life before I was ever saved. And so God had mercy upon me, and he saved me and from that and preserved me. And someone was praying in the prayer meeting of God preserving, and I was preserved by God in my years before I was saved. And he has kept me up till now, thank God. And so that was... with the new company came the different bit of a foreign language to what I heard at home. There was now not the name of the Lord Jesus Christ being taken upon their lips carefully and with reverence and godly fear like it was at home, but it was in blasphemy, and there was a carelessness about taking the name of Christ upon these men's lips. And very quickly, the company that I was with, they were rubbing off on me, and I very soon was becoming a very, very two-faced person. I was living one life at home and at the meetings, and I could put on a suit and I could look the part, and yet away from the shelter of home I was living, and I was a very different person. But I thank God that he did not leave me alone. There was occasions where I had completely forgotten about until I was saved. There were times where God in his mercy preserved me very clearly, and little did I know until I was saved. That's how blinded we can be before we're saved. There was an occasion that I remember falling off the mountain bike. It was on the way back from riding that night, and I had a crash on the road, and I ended up landing. My body was on the middle of a cobbled section on a central bit of a very busy road in Bristol, and my head landed right where the wheel of a car had just been. Literally 5 seconds before, had I crashed 5 seconds before, my head would have been under the wheel of a car. God had mercy upon me, and he preserved me that time, and yet I was shook up. But just physically, I had no thought of God at that stage. No thought of God at all. And yet, I'd forgotten about the time. And yet, when I got saved, God brought back these things to my mind just to remind me and just to bring before me that he'd been watching over me and having mercy upon me until I was saved. And there will be times, dear friend, in the meeting this evening, God has had mercy upon you and you've never, ever acknowledged his goodness to you, and you've never understood and realized that he was having mercy upon you in withholding withholding death from you and his judgment, and he has given you another opportunity. Tonight could be your last, friend. Take the opportunity seriously and give God thanks for the opportunity you are being given tonight to be saved as you're sat under the sign of the gospel this afternoon. And so I went on and I come to 2016. It was 2016 or 2017. There was tent meetings. Came to a little village called Axbridge, maybe where my uncle and auntie live. And it was about 25-minute, half-hour drive from Bristol, where I was brought up. And so we would be going down. And yet there was one Tuesday night, I remember, and there was a big mountain bike event. Men and girls were coming from all over the southwest to ride at our local mountain bike spot. And that Tuesday night, I said to Mum and Dad, I wasn't going to the gospel meeting. I was going out to ride my mountain bike, and I wasn't going to the gospel meeting. And so they went away. They didn't really say too much, but I knew I wasn't pleasing them. I knew that it was hurting them, the fact I was staying to ride my bike. And so I went up and I had a great time. And yet I never forget my auntie telling me after I got saved that as Mum came to the entrance of the hall, as she exited the hall that night, there were tears streaming down her cheeks. For her son was away. He should have been at the gospel meeting, but he was away enjoying what he loved to do. And yet, whereas I should have been at the gospel meeting, sat under the sign of it and responding to it, but I was away. And I thank God tonight that there was a mother and a father that were pleading with God that I would be saved. And so I appreciate that now, but I didn't even know at the time. I didn't know that was the case. So on the 16th of August 2017 is the night I got saved. I had been up a week spent in Scotland with my Auntie Rebecca and her family, Dan Gillis and Gwen Noon to Some tonight, and we spent a week up there, and I was a week without the mountain bike, and that was a massive thing for me. So I couldn't wait to get the 8-hour, 9-hour drive home from Scotland and get the bike and go up to the local riding spot. And so I went, got the bike, and I went up and rode. And I rode for a little while with friends up there and was enjoying myself. And yet there came a time, they were leaving early that night, maybe 7 o'clock, they were leaving the woods, and I rode for a little bit longer, but we usually rode together just because it was a nasty enough accident if you did fall off the mountain bike. So I rode what I knew I was okay with and enjoyed myself for a time. And yet, upon me came a deep sense in that forest that I was very, very alone. I was physically alone. My friends had gone. And yet that night, I lost the desire to ride my mountain bike. There was nothing in this world, nothing that could take away the desire I had. And yet God, then and there and then in that forest, he removed that desire. And he planted in my soul a desire to be saved. And for the very first time, I had a desire to be saved. At the age of 16, with all that privilege, all those gospel meetings, all the prayers of God's people, that was the very first time I had a real desire in my soul to be saved. And so I went and I rang Mum, and she came and picked me up. And I don't remember much of the car journey, but I got home, put my bike in the shed and went down into the downstairs bathroom at home, for it was one of the only quietest places in the house for me with three younger siblings. So I went in there, and in that bathroom, God saved my soul. And in just a moment, just quicker than I could even flick my fingers, in a moment, I was translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In other words, I was saved for time and for all eternity. And now I know that whatever may be my lot down here, heaven is my home, and Christ will be eternally satisfy my soul, and I will spend eternity worshipping Him and thanking Him for Calvary, for that's where He died, upon the cross. There and then I understood my need of a Saviour, and I cried the words, those words I couldn't tell you the last time I heard them, I couldn't tell you the last time I read them, but the words of Peter crying out to the Lord to save him on the Sea of Galilee that day came to my mind, and they were the words of my heart. I cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and saved a wretch like me. I thank God for that tonight, and he's preserved me. I was baptized in January 2018, and I was brought into fellowship there in Bedminster Road Gospel Hall in March time of 2018, and God has preserved me and kept me to this day. I wonder about you, friend. Have you ever had the moment in your life where you have understood that, the night I got saved, I came to understand that such was God's love for my soul. Had I been the only person in this world, Christ would still have come to save me, still have gone to Calvary's cross, that I might never perish, but have eternal life. You know, it thrilled me as I read in Genesis chapter 2 this week of the tree of life. You know, dear friend, in Genesis chapter 3, man sinned and sin entered, and there was a distance between God and men, and the tree of life was set up. But the tree of life was there before man ever sinned. And I thank God that God, in his wondrous mercy and in his grace, before the world ever began, the cross was in eternal counsels, and there was a love in God's heart for your soul and for my soul. And God had a plan that when man sinned, he would send his Son to be the Savior of the world. And so I thank God tonight that Christ ever came into the world to die on the cross. Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, I read Acts 24 this evening because of this. I was a great procrastinator. I went on. There was opportunity after opportunity to be saved, and God spoke once, yea, twice, and yet I went on living my life for self and for sin. And yet there was, thank God, the 16th of August he spoke, and I responded in faith and was saved by his grace. But there's this man, Felix, here. He was being given a golden opportunity to be saved, and he trembled. The Spirit was working, and he trembled under the words that Paul spoke by the Holy Spirit to him. He trembled, but do you know what he said? He said, go thy way for this time. I will, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know, dear friend, tonight, we never read that there was ever a time when this man got saved. And I can tell you with the authority of the Word of God that, my dear friend, if you are looking for a convenient season, it will never come. It will never come, friend. Satan will always put something in front of you. There will never be a convenient season. I didn't get saved because I realized that was a convenient season for me to be saved. It was because I understood my need. I needed a Savior, and I cried out to God to save me, and that he did, and he could save you tonight. Right where you are, before you even leave this hall tonight, God could save you. You could be saved. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? This man will live I believe, to regret that he ever put off salvation to another day, for that day never came. And my dear friend, it would be a tragedy if tonight you're being given the opportunity to be saved and you put it off and you miss God's salvation and you are cast into the lake of fire. God have mercy upon you tonight. Take this matter seriously, for it's eternity that's at stake. It's your eternal destiny. It's heaven or it's hell for all eternity. My dear friend, be serious. These matters are serious. It's the most important thing. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. You could be saved tonight. Go in for God's salvation. You could be privileged with such an opportunity as this and yet be cast into hell. So go in for God's salvation. There's a Savior there, and he's willing and he's ready to save you if only you'll believe his word. May God bless you for being here tonight, and we trust that he will save you. We will just pray.